There are 100,000 people waiting for kidneys on the national transplant list, and a big shortage of people willing to donate a kidney. Our first guest this morning will make the case for compensating kidney donors, and we will welcome your questions and views for her. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Thursday, May 8th. Would you consider donating a kidney to save a stranger's life? Why or why not? Would some sort of financial benefit persuade you to do so? Do you have a loved one who needs a kidney transplant? Would you like to see the system changed to possibly ease the kidney shortage? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Sally Sattell. She is the resident scholar at the American Enterprise Institute. She is the editor of When Altruism Isn't Enough, The Case for Compensating Kidney Donors. And she wrote a recent op-ed piece for the New York Times, Why People Don't Donate Their Kidneys. Good morning.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thanks for being with us. So give us a scope of how bad the kidney shortage is in this country.
Well, you foreshadowed it. There are over 100,000 people now waiting for kidneys and 127,000 people total waiting for all other kinds of organs, hearts, lungs. And 14 people die every day because they couldn't live long enough to get a kidney off that national waiting list, which is now 100,000, or from a relative or friend could step forward and give them a kidney as a living donor. You remember, you can get kidneys either from relatives or friends, or even very benign strangers. About 100 people a year are Good Samaritan donors, or through deceased donation. But 14 people die every day because they couldn't survive the wait. And if you get on the list now in major cities, your wait will be 5 to 10 years, and 5 to 10 years on dialysis is lethal for the majority of people. So there's a crisis here. It's also spawned a global black market. Not only do Americans participate, and no one really knows to what extent, but all other countries do. And this is a great human, you know, that's a human rights problem as well. So there's quite an organ shortage since 1984 when the National Organ Transplant Act started and the national system of organ procurement and distribution was developed. There's really always been a lack of kidneys, or all organs for that matter. It's just getting greater and greater and greater. We've done education. Hospitals have tried to perfect the way they approach families in the emergency room when someone has died tragically through brain death to request those organs. We've done a lot, but we're really at an impasse, it seems, because the donation rates are basically flat.
Yeah. Well, in terms of kidneys, how many people do donate kidneys? Do we know?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Last year, about 7,500 people donated after death, and 5,700 were living donors. But because you can obtain more than one kidney, you know, we have two, and from cadavers, let's say a total of 17,000 mm-hmm. kidneys or transplants were conducted last year. And, you know, by the end of December, let's say 98,000 people were waiting. Now it's 100,000. But so clearly you can see that demand very much outstrips supply. So we have to be, you know, creative at this point. We have to realize that altruism, and I must say that I am a poster girl for altruism because I got a kidney from a friend in 2006. This is a woman who didn't even know me that well. She just heard from a mutual friend that I wasn't doing very well and I needed a kidney, and she gave it to me. And
well, bless her, but
I know. You're speechless with gratitude after such an act. And so I am well aware of my how much of a beneficiary I am of altruism. It's the most beautiful virtue there is, but there just simply isn't enough. Mm-hmm. And so we have to become creative and test other options.
It is against the law to give any sort of financial reimbursement or remuneration or incentive to someone to donate a kidney.
I'd say effectively, yes, it's against the law. That's how the law has been read since 1984. What the law, I would argue, actually, that the law did not explicitly prohibit the kind of system that my colleagues and I envision, which would be the sort of system that would reward people who are willing to save the life of a stranger by giving them an in-kind benefit, such as tax credit, a contribution to their 401k account, tuition voucher, this kind of thing. And that sort of gift would come not from the person who needs the kidney, but rather from a federal, state government, or charity. It would come from a third party so that everyone who needs an organ can benefit, not just wealthy people. And that it would go to a stranger who would be willing to, you know, save someone's life. Of course, that stranger would undergo all the kinds of testing and screening that we do now for voluntary donors. In fact, they'd probably be put to a somewhat more rigorous test. I would personally build in a 6-month to 1-year waiting list because you want people, what you want to avoid is people who are so desperate for money that they would rush into this kind of thing where they'd give an organ and then regret it. But if you don't offer cash, and that's why I mentioned in-kind benefits, and if you make people wait, you know, almost a cooling off period, then you can be quite, you know, reassured that these people are well informed and that they know what they're getting into. Of course, you would have to build in all kinds of other, you know, protections so that they'd be followed up in terms of any medical complications afterwards, which I should say actually is not guaranteed in the current system. A lot of hospitals will, of course, help you if you develop a complication within, you know, a month or maybe 6 months. But if it's a little more down the line, you're on your own if you don't have health insurance. So, you know, you'd build in protections, of course. But that would be the basic idea, that you would take folks who are interested in, again, you know, doing the most amazing thing, which is saving someone's life. I mean, short of pulling someone out of a frozen lake, I can't think of a way you could directly save a life like this. And just offering that as an option to people. I get letters all the time begging me, you know, I'd love to be able to save someone's life, but also help my circumstances as well. So it's kind of combining humanitarian and financial motives.
And again, we're not talking about cold, hard cash.
No, and we're not talking about a market where people bargain, where there's a broker who profits. And that's exactly what the law in 1984, the National Organ Transplant Act, that is exactly where the felony provision came from. It came from a desire to keep the rich from buying organs from the poor, from bargaining for cash, and for profiteering brokers. And also, to be fair, in 1984, when then Representative Al Gore was spearheading this legislation, you know, there was the sentiment, well, let's give altruism a chance. And I think I would have agreed with that 30 years ago as well. But to Al Gore's credit, and I wish he would speak up about this again, he actually said in one of the hearings in 1983, we will try voluntary, you know, altruistic donation. In other words, not enriching people in any way. And we'll see if that works. And if it doesn't, we should think about moving to incentives. So that thought was there from the beginning. But it's just been forgotten, and this culture of, you know, the narrative of the gift has just taken root. Now, I don't mean to be cynical, that I am the narrative, the gift of life. I am that. But again, it's just not sufficient.
Our guest is Sally Satel, resident scholar at the American Enterprise Institute, editor of When Altruism Isn't Enough, the case for compensating kidney donors. She recently wrote a New York Times opinion piece, Why People Don't Donate Kidneys. What do you think of this? Should we compensate kidney donors to save lives? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking with a guest who is making the case for compensating kidney donors. And we wonder what you think of what you're hearing. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. Do you think we should allow financial incentives to encourage more healthy people to donate a kidney to a stranger? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is Sally Satel, and she recently wrote a New York Times opinion piece, Why People Don't Donate Kidneys. Let's take a caller. Judy in Green Oaks is with us. Hello, Judy.
Oh, hi. Yeah, I have a nephew. I've told the screener that I have a nephew who has had cystic fibrosis since birth, of course, and he has already had a double lung transplant. And now, because of medication and complications from his, you know, main health concern, he needs a kidney transplant, and he's been on dialysis. His brother has been screened, and for some reason it's taken a year to get through this process to be a donor, and the surgery is now scheduled. And his family told me that should the donor brother develop any kidney problems any time in the future, he would be put at the top of the list and get his own donation paid for, you know, full, free of charge. And that's one of the questions it seems to, I'm unsure when your guest said, well, you know, if they develop any problems down the line, they would not, you know, they'd be on their own. And also, I don't know, it's such an emotional and ethically, you know, difficult situation because, you know, the person, you know, the poor kid who's not a kid anymore, who needs the donation, has such complicated health issues at this point in his life. And, you know, there's no guarantee that this is going to give him long-term health. And, you know, I don't know. What can your guest comment on those things?
Sure. I that is true what you say, that if a person comes forward and gives a kidney to a relative or friend, if they do develop renal failure down the road, which is very, very rare, but it can happen, that they do get priority in getting transplanted. And as far as as you said, you know, your relative who has cystic fibrosis has so many systemic problems now, you know, it's not clear how many years a transplant will buy him, but it could be, you know, it could be quite a number. It could be somewhere between 5 and 10 if the other, you know, if the underlying condition does not progress further and do more damage. And, you know, you've thought about it. I'm sure the donor has thought about whether this risk is something he wants to undergo, in order to give more years of life to his cousin. And he's weighed them, and presumably he's decided this is something that's worth it, even if my cousin doesn't get as many, or my brother, I'm sorry, but doesn't get as many years out of the kidney as one could. If it were anonymous donation, you would try to give, let's say,
if the kidney were from a young person, which is an ideal young, healthy person, you would want to give that kidney to someone who has many, many years to live, because you want to get as many years as you can out of the organ. But this is a personal decision and a personal case, and the decision has been made to do it, and, you know, with the understanding that the doctors will do their best, and they wouldn't attempt the surgery if it was going to, you know, if the prognosis was terrible. So that's encouraging, and I just wish you the best of luck.
Yeah, thank you, Judy, for the call, and good luck to your nephew and his brother. Why, Sally Satel, aren't more people like Judy's nephew stepping forward and donating kidneys?
Well, there are probably several reasons. The big one, as I could say, altruism is not enough. But there are also other situations. For example, I think a lot of people don't know what it entails. It's a serious surgery. There's no question about that. I'm not trying to minimize it. The mortality rate is about 2 in 10,000, although I should add, with liposuction, it's greater. So that's considered a minimal risk, and we subject people who do it voluntarily, like this young man, to those risks. So we've obviously, as a medical community, made the decision that this is, you know, a tolerable risk. But I think a lot of people don't know what it entails. Usually the kidney is removed laparoscopically, so that there's a very small incision. My donor was out of the hospital in 2 days and driving the next week. But I think sometimes people imagine it's the old-fashioned way, which was a big nephrectomy scar along one's side, and that's not typically the way it's done. Also, since the majority of people who need kidneys had kidney failure due to diabetes or hypertension, you know, these are people whose family members share their genes, and either those people are also ill with those conditions or at risk of developing them, and doctors simply won't take one of their kidneys because either those kidneys are not in great working function themselves, or the person will need them if he or she goes on to develop diabetes or hypertension. So those are two other reasons.
Yeah. We will be talking with a bioethicist coming up after 6:30 who's got a number of questions about this proposal to compensate kidney donors. And one is, do we really know if this kind of in-kind compensation would really increase the number of people willing to give a kidney?
Well, that is just the point. This is why the op-ed was about testing this idea. We have to find this out. Now, we have every reason to suspect that it will, because every other product of the, I guess, associated with the body that we pay for, we get enough of. For example, we pay for blood plasma. The United States is the biggest exporter of plasma in the world. We never have shortages of plasma. We don't pay for blood, and we have shortages frequently. We pay for eggs and sperm. We pay surrogate moms. I mean, we've crossed this threshold. Granted, a kidney, you know, it's an operation. It's different. It's not a renewable resource like eggs or sperm. There are differences. There's no question. But the fact that the economic fact that when you pay for, or in this case, we're not talking about cash, but, you know, when you enrich someone for a certain act, you get more of it. Now, it could be that this particular compensating people for kidneys will violate all laws of economics, but A, I doubt it, and B, it's imperative that we find out, because too many people are dying and the black market is flourishing. And thirdly, and I put this down on the list because lives come before money, but we are spending a fortune on dialysis. It is 7% of the Medicare budget. Dialysis is extremely expensive. And to get people a transplant is an enormous cost savings as well. But that's not my primary motive in promoting this plan.
Well, we have just a couple of minutes to go. Why not spend all of the money we might in a compensation system on preventing the disease that causes the need for kidney transplants?
Of course. Yes, yes. I say yes to everything. These are not mutually exclusive. We should definitely be trying to prevent these and diseases, and we are. But you know how prevention, the time lag is decades often. And so many people, so many thousands of people will die before we, if we were successful in a public health strategy like that. And I say we should continue to try to prevent, no question. But to wait for that strategy to have its impact, you know, down the line is a graveyard full of people.
Well, a closing statement, 30 seconds. So why should we compensate kidney donors?
Because we need more organs to prevent needless death and suffering. We can do it in an ethically sound way, in a clinically responsible way, and an economically feasible way. And when people, I just like to say as a last, as a closing message, that you hear the words commodification and coercion, exploitation thrown around in this debate a lot. You didn't bring it up, but you typically do. And just listen, because those are often words to shut down the debate. What you want to know is whether the donors, the prospective donors, are well-informed, they're protected, with respect for their autonomy to make decisions in their own best interest, that we're very grateful for what they've done, and that they're amply rewarded. That's what's important.
Thank you very much for being with us, Sally Satel, author of When Altruism Isn't Enough. This is the Ideas Network. In our last half hour, we heard from the editor of When Altruism Isn't Enough, The Case for Compensating Kidney Donors. In this half hour, we'll talk with a bioethicist who has some concerns about allowing financial incentives to people for donating kidneys. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 6:37 on this Thursday, May 8th. And we will continue to take your questions and views on whether or not we should compensate kidney donors at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our next guest is Arthur Dursey, the director of the Center for Bioethics and Medical Humanities at the Medical College of Wisconsin. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Thanks for being with us. So what's your concern about a plan to not compensate people with cold, hard cash, but some sort of in-kind financial incentive to donate a kidney?
Well, so my first concern is the issue of coercion. And I know Dr. Satel said, okay, you know, people will use the words coercion, commodification, you know, they're trying to shut down the debate. But I don't think that that's true. I think coercion is a very, very important issue. The proposal is to give the equivalent of $10,000 to the person who would do this. And for a number of people in the United States, $10,000 is a lot of money. And even if you have a waiting period of 6 months, there's a lot of people who still need $10,000 in 6 months. And whether or not it's, you know, a credit for taxes, or if it's some type of tuition reimbursement, it still is something of value. And the fact of the matter is, all of Dr. Satel's arguments, we're essentially saying, you know, we really ought to compensate people for this. And the National Organ Transplantation Act does not allow direct cash compensation. So this is the best way to kind of get around that without violating the law. And every argument she made is an argument for why we should just give people cold, hard cash to do it, because they really need financial incentives to be a not just a good Samaritan, but an extremely good Samaritan. You know, this is a way to incentivize them to be able to donate their kidneys. And I have to say that having, you know, 100 of these people as Dr. Sattel said, is wonderful, that people actually donate a kidney to a stranger and just are willing to give up this just because of their altruism. But that number, 100, is a very small number, and depending upon the need for these, I don't know that $10,000 will do it. And the reality is, in the free market, you know, it could be variable, but depending upon the need, there's so many people on the waiting list, there's such a need, this number could, you know, be extremely high. We might see that people, you know, might be willing to do it for more and more money, and that, you know, in a free market situation, people would be willing to give up their organs, and there's such a need for them that it might be worth something of the equivalent of tens of thousands or even $100,000 to do it. And you can see where people would be extremely tempted to go ahead and not so really donate, because it's not a donation, but to be paid for their organs. So I don't think the commodification and coercion issue is merely something that's trying to shut down debate. Yeah. I think they're extremely important.
So maybe the safeguards that she has in her plan, that you'd have to wait 6 months, wouldn't necessarily stop somebody 6 months from, you know, from getting the in-kind compensation. But what's so wrong with that? If I want to be altruistic, but I also you know, don't have a lot of money, and I want to go to college, and I would like to have the college tuition. What's so wrong with me saying, okay, I'm going to do this because I'm going to be a really good Samaritan by doing it, and I'll also get this tuition credit?
Well, I think the thing that causes a lot of concern is that you are giving up an organ which, you know, is often quite important for your health in exchange for it. And no other country in the world besides Iran actually allows direct payment for this, and nobody else has these in-kind vouchers or tax credits for it. And in general, we tend not to want to be in the same category as Iran for a number of things. But all of the other developed countries that are doing organ transplants see this as an incentive that exceeds the bounds of, you know, ethical persuasion. So let me just step back for a second. In the United States, we probably could eliminate the waiting list for kidney transplant donors if we had a mandatory law that said when you die, your organs will be donated to individuals unless you opt out, unless you say you do not want it. And some countries actually do that. But here in the United States, we generally don't like that because we don't want anybody to have to donate organs, even if they have died. But that would be a wonderful way of addressing the shortage. The fact is that we don't want to do that because we don't want to force people to have to do something like this. And I do think that this compensation plan does cross the boundary between just saying, look, you know, if you work hard, we'll pay you. Instead, if you give up this vital body organ, and in this case with kidneys, you've got two, and you might argue, well, you can give up one because you're not, you know, you can be without one. But to use an analogy, perhaps, and maybe this will sound completely wrong, but if someone said, you know, someone needs an arm and transplant, and I've got two, I don't need two. People get by with just one. Just fine. I'm going to go ahead and donate one of mine for transplantation. You'd go, oh no, that's wrong. That doesn't seem right. And yet, you know, it's an important part. You're willing to give it up. You're being altruistic. But we go, you know, it's not something that, even if, you know, there's a good voucher or compensation system, that we should allow people to do. So there are things that we go, you know, this is something in which there's a human being whose natural status is intact, and yes, we are commodifying it. We are putting a price on it we're, you know, putting a very high price on it. And in fact, in the marketplace, it might even be higher. But there is a certain aspect of commodification to it. And then the other thing is, what about the effect on the voluntary system? So if you hear that people are being compensated for this, and you have signed your donor card, you might go, you know, I'm not going to sign my donor card because I would rather someone approach me with a cash payment for this particular organ. I would prefer that people pay for this. And, you know, the fact of the matter is, now that I know that this can happen, I'm not going to volunteer that if I die, my organs are donated, because I would rather be in a position where I'm offered money, or my family is offered money for it after I die. So it may actually change people's view of organ donation, because right now it's a gift of life. When it becomes no longer a gift, but now it's a good that can be purchased, people may not be as willing to volunteer in organ transplant. And, you know, I think the question when I asked, you know, will this significantly increase those numbers, those 100 people, at some price point, of course it will increase it. But I think the price point is much higher than $10,000 for you know, the majority of people. But there is a significant number of there are a significant portion of folks in the country for whom that's a lot of money, and you know, $10,000 certainly would be the moving point. But the problem is, at that point, it's not voluntary. And in talking about informed consent, you know, in talking about what are the implications of giving this up, I think when someone is willing to donate something as important as a kidney to a stranger, as only 100 people have done, as Dr. Sotelo has pointed out, you think there must be a reason why it is not natural for people to go ahead and do this, you know, why it is an extremely good Samaritan, why it's above and beyond. And I do think the point about disease prevention is an important one, because we tend to say, you know, these are people on the waiting list. They are dying of kidney disease unless they get an organ. We need to do something about that to be able to help them, to rescue them.
Let me jump in, because we're approaching our break time, and we will continue to talk about whether or not we should consider compensating kidney donors. Our guest in our first half hour said yes, because this would save lives. And our guest now is saying no. It's a slippery slope, and there are too many ethical concerns. Art Dursey is the director of the Center for Bioethics and Medical Humanities at the Medical College of Wisconsin. And what do you think? What questions do you have? Do you think kidney donors should be compensated or not? Not with cash, but perhaps some sort of tax credit or tuition voucher. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking with Art Dursey, the director of the Center for Bioethics and Medical Humanities at the Medical College of Wisconsin, about kidney donations and whether or not we should compensate kidney donors. We talked with a guest who wrote a recent New York Times opinion piece about why people don't donate their kidneys and why she thought the time has come to come up with some sort of compensation to encourage more, especially younger, healthy people, to donate a kidney to a stranger. She says this would save lives, with more than 100,000 people now on the national waiting list for kidneys and a severe kidney shortage. She says we should give this system a try. What do you say? What questions do you have? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Peter writes on Facebook, we absolutely should compensate donors. He goes on to say, there is no time to waste. I don't care if someone later regrets donating. The harm to society from their regret is less than the harm to society of the kidney recipient dying. What about that, Art Dersey? People are dying, and our, you know, efforts to encourage donations through, you know, awareness and altruism apparently are not keeping up with the need.
Well, so if you think about that, the cost of the regret by the person who has donated this is less than the cost to society, which is, you know, having people die as a result. But if you think about that more fully, we don't generally tend to make people in the society do things to help others because society at large is having an impact. So we don't make people. I mean, we could, to be able to help people in poverty, we could make people go out and work to help them so that they are lifted from poverty, and we could all be better off. But we don't make them do that, and especially if we're talking about their body, we do not make people in our Western society, especially our American society, we don't require people to do things. If we all gave blood, there wouldn't be a blood shortage, and blood can save people's lives. But it's not much of an imposition for people to actually give blood, and yet we don't say...
Right, but we're not making them donate a kidney in this system.
Right,
that...
but I guess what I'm trying to say is that if we start paying for organs, it would be as if we started paying for blood. If we said, you know, we're going to pay you for a donation of blood. And the fact is that those costs come from somewhere. Those costs are actually something in which we pay for it. And then, you know, once there's money behind it, and it's significant money, that now is an incentive and a specific incentive to be able to do that. So I have to say that in this situation, I think, you know, you mentioned the slippery slope, and, you know, sometimes those arguments are not good arguments. But there is a reason, again, why not only in the United States, but countries nationwide have not gone down this path. Now, again, I have to say that I think that it's worthy of debate. I think it's worthy of discussion, not shutting down the discussion by any means. But I do think that society's need is important. Remember, of course, that this is at the end of life. This is, for the most part, people who have who are of adult years who need the kidney function, who've lost kidney function for various reasons. And the fact is that, you know, we are, it's interesting because Dr. Sattel would like the government to be one of the entities, or maybe it could be a charity, but it could be government to come in and do this. Generally, the group that she represents is someone who doesn't tend to like the government getting in there to be able to do this. So this is one in which we're saying, you know, government, come in, help us solve this, because we would like to be able to get some compensation for these donors. And I think the solution in this case, quite frankly, is one that ultimately will just be the free market, right? Because why have the government as an intermediary? Why not just allow people to be paid to do it and, you know, go out into the marketplace to be able to have this accomplished?
Mike in Madison asks, if surrogate mothers are paid tens of thousands of dollars for giving life, why shouldn't kidney donors be compensated? What's the difference?
So I think that's a very good question. Some people don't think surrogate mothers should be compensated. They are compensated. Not often in multiples of tens of thousands, but they may be able to, depending upon the state, be compensated for this. And I think it's a very good point, because there is the concern about coercion of commodification. However, once, you know, the individual gives birth, they still, you know, have all the organs they started with before. So there is a difference in that case, because once you give up one of your kidneys, and of course, kidneys are redundant for a reason, and that is because you may end up having a problem with one of those kidneys. and the other one, you know, takes over. And so there's a reason why individuals do that, and you're giving that up. A surrogate mother is giving up time, is giving up, you know, her body for the period of time that she's pregnant, but ultimately she's not giving up a portion of her body that is going to be gone that may be vital at some time for her in the future.
You know, Betty in Oak Creek, I think, wanted to make a similar point. Hey, Betty.
Good morning. This is bizarre. I mean, I can see donating a kidney if you're needed, or if somebody needs one, but I surely don't believe in selling it. I just think it's so bizarre, and down the road, people would sell these, and then down the road, they would need a kidney, or it just seems so bizarre. I don't believe that you should be paying people to donate their body parts.
Yeah. I guess, Art Dersey, you agree with that.
Yeah, I do agree with that. I think the financial incentives do change the equation. It's no longer a donation of life. It's not a gift. It's not giving. It's really a selling of a body part. And I don't think that, you know, the fact that there's not a plasma shortage because we go out and sell plasma. Again, plasma is a renewable resource, but the reality is that is a renewable resource in your body. If you give blood or you give plasma, you will restore that.
We have so little time. I mean, I donate blood, but some people donate blood and do get paid for it. You can get paid for donating blood, right?
Well, and my question is, if you had the choice between people who donated freely or people who needed to donate and were donating, which blood would you think is less likely to be given freely, given out of the goodness of their heart, and perhaps even be less likely to have hepatitis or, you know, other diseases just because the person is ill?
Yeah, your point is that desperate people would be the people who are going to be looking for compensation.
Yes, people who need money would consider this, and the more that they need it, the more that they would consider, and not donating, I can't call it donation anymore, but being paid for their organs.
Yeah. Well, we have less than a minute to go. Do you think that this this proposal for compensating kidney donors will ever happen?
Well, I have to say that I think that at least right now, the sentiment, you know, professionally is generally against it. Surveys show that physicians tend to be opposed to this. Having said that, I think the general public is a little bit more open to it, but I don't think there's a widespread swell of support for it, so I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon.
Well, we shall see. Thank you so much for being with us. Arthur Dersey, Director of the Center for Bioethics and Medical Humanities at the Medical College of Wisconsin. Thanks to Robin Cherry and Cynthia Schuster for producing and directing this program. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.